Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms this afternoon, joining us from the United Kingdom. And as we begin the program in this second hour, a lot to talk about. Of course, obviously the issues here in the States, but also there in the UK and well around the world. There's a lot happening, and I'll probably tease portion of this in this first segment with Tom. Tom joining us from London, England. And with that, Tom, good afternoon. Actually, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Lockwood.
And as we prepare to get into a very, I'll say, dynamic and maybe even heated discussion, what's the temperature there in the UK, in London, so we know what, you know, what it's going to be like for you?
Well, it's sort of in the mid-60s, high to mid-60s, but, you know, fall is definitely descending upon us. It's been a very wet week, and it's going to continue to be wet, and the temperatures are starting to fall. It does mean the grass is turning green again. But it's definitely autumn here.
Well, we're beginning to feel a little bit of autumn, but we've got some humidity coming into our area again. Fortunately, we're not looking or staring at a hurricane in our market quite yet. All right, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. Tom, we've got a lot to talk about in relationship to the United States, the UK. We're going to get into that, but I want to chat briefly about the situations that we're seeing here in the States, and particularly several items that have caught our attention other than politics. So I want to start off before we get into politics, the topic of vaping. And I know that European communities have vape devices. We'll call them cigarettes. They aren't. There's grave concern here that we've got problems. There have been several deaths associated with it. But interestingly enough, I've seen in stories, there doesn't seem to be a problem there in the European community. My first question to you is vaping a popular activity?
Yes, it is. They have about 7.1% of the, I suppose, call them smokers, for lack of a better word, are vaping now.
Wow.
And that's here in the UK alone, and I think it's probably that's more or less the spread across Europe. 3.6 vapers in the UK, mainly in the 35 to 45 year old age group. Mm-hmm. It's not something which is attractive to the young people here.
Ooh. That's interesting, because I was talking to teenagers. I have a group that I talk to every Monday evening, and they said it's been very popular in school that the youngsters are vaping. They're doing it in a rebellious fashion for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, but that appears to be the problem.
Uh-huh.
And because here in Europe, the fluids that go into the vaping mechanism mm-hmm. are highly regulated.
Ah.
And that's not the case in the U.S. according to the Europeans.
Right.
And so they are saying vaping is perfectly safe.
Uh-huh.
But that in the U.S. there are various cannabis derivatives that are being used.
Right.
And also the things like cinnamon, you know, the flavored vapors mm-hmm. Sometimes have chemicals in them which are not so good for you. There's a particular fluid called tocopherol acetate.
Hmm.
That apparently is quite widespread, but it's banned here in Europe. And so they're saying it's safe here in Europe because it's, the fluids are regulated, but the fluids are not so well regulated in the U.S.
Right. And I think that's a pretty interesting observation. All right. Curious about the vaping issue. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get to Brexit, and we're going to get to the, European view of what's happening here in the States here in just a moment with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. But I want to touch on a few other items very quickly because, they're still topics of interest here in the States. The topic of Boeing, the 737, the recent crashes in both Indonesia, Lion Air, and of course there in Africa as well. There's new recriminations just recently released on Boeing and the FAA and the U.S. management of its airline industry. Is that getting much coverage there in the U.K.? Are you even seeing any news of that nature?
No, not really. You have to remember, I mean, we have so much news here with historic Supreme Court decisions, Brexit, the Prime Minister having alleged affairs and handing out money to his mistress, you know, all these sort of things. And of course, you know, what else is happening in the States in terms of possible impeachment and so forth. It's just, you know, there's not enough time on the broadcast schedules or pages of the newspapers to cover everything.
No. And I don't believe we have adequate time in our craniums to handle all the information as well. All right. And then another quick question, and this associated with flying. And that, of course, is a fascinating series of stories. And I don't think the vast majority of the U.S. public is aware of the role of the Thomas Cook Travel Agency, which declared bankruptcy 2 days ago now, and literally just stranded tens of thousands.
Stranded 600,000 people.
Whoa.
Overseas.
Wow. How big?
600,000. To about 200,000 were British, but it's a pan-European company. It is the oldest travel company in the world, and it's gone bust.
And I'm curious, it has British roots. Why has Thomas Cook been so successful? In light of the fact that we've got now Expedia and all these other travel agent forms?
Well, in the last 10 years, it hasn't been. And that's the problem. It failed to move online.
Oh.
It basically continued to book most of its holidays through shops in the high street, on Main Street. And it did not really make the move to digital. And other travel companies did. And so it had a debt of nearly $2 billion, which it was having to service.
Wow.
And it was going into winter, and it needed to borrow money or to get some extra equity to service the debt, and it failed to get it.
Now, you know, the other aspect of this, obviously the European community is traveling across the proximity of many nations. Is Thomas Cook, did they offer a service beyond the fact that they were booking and things of this nature? Were they offering services that were pretty important to the travel industry, both from the perspective of the travelers, but also the industry itself?
Oh, yes. Yes. Countries like Tunisia and Turkey and Morocco and places like that where they're heavily dependent on the tourism industry. Whole hotels would be given over just to Thomas Cook customers.
Wow.
And now these hotels are going to lose all those customers. You know, Tunisia is going to be particularly hard hit, where they have unemployment of 20-25%, and something like 35% of the workforce is involved in the tourism industry.
They
are in big trouble, and they're already politically unstable, and people are trying to hang on to the results of the Arab Spring there, and it's not going to be easy.
Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us for a few more minutes before we go to the break, and then we're going to get on to other issues. Tom, this story, of course, with the closure of Thomas Cook, what impact will this have on the availability for travel? Because, again, I go back to the comment, the proximity of all these nations makes travel, pan-European travel, so much easier. Will we see anybody to step in to fill the void?
Yes. I mean, people are stepping in, but it's quite interesting. The prices are going to go up. A lot of people have had their Thomas Cook holidays canceled.
Yeah.
Obviously, their holidays were covered by travel insurance and they got the money back. But if they wanted to book another holiday to replace it, the existing travel companies are charging 300% more.
Wow. All right.
You know, they're taking advantage of it.
That's an understatement.
I mean, other travel companies will move in to fill the gap, the vacuum.
Mm.
But it will take time, and the prices will go up.
All right. We're going to get into other issues here in just a moment with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. We're now moving into the hard news item of the day. And that, of course, is the disclosure of the president's transcripts with President Zelensky of Ukraine. And, of course, the announcement yesterday that the House will be, that is the U.S. House of Representatives, will begin an inquiry into impeachment proceedings against the president. And Tom, let's start. Is that you've got Brexit on the front page of every publication there. We're going to set that aside and give that more time because that's a very, not that this isn't, but that's a very complicated issue. Let's talk about the coverage leading up to the coverage of yesterday and now what you're hearing. And of course, it is some 5 hours ahead of us. So you're, as we're talking, you're in the late afternoon there in London. So let's start with the lead up to this. Was there a lot of coverage and expectation for what transpired yesterday?
Yes, there was. But again, because we've had this historic Supreme Court ruling, that has really grabbed almost all the space and time. The item number two was certainly the possible impeachment of President Trump. And so it's gotten a lot of space, not as much space as it would have gotten otherwise. It's taken a little while to get off the ground because I think people find it a bit complicated.
That's an understatement. Yes, it is complicated, just like this Brexit issue is complicated. All right. With that said, of course, we were chatting as we began the program. You and I were talking about the transcript that's been released. The issue of international relations with the president and the potential of, well, I say potential now, the impeachment inquiry. What does that do to President Trump's capital, his political capital there among the European leaders? And what's your prediction related to leaders in, well, President Putin and Xi Jinping, president of China?
Well, I mean, as far as the Europeans are concerned, he doesn't have much capital to speak of, except with Boris Johnson. And of course, Boris Johnson has his own problems at the moment.
Right, right.
I think that with President Putin, he has a fair amount of capital because Putin relates to him. The East Europeans, most of the East Europeans, like Viktor Orban of Hungary, think very highly of him. The Polish president thinks very highly of him. And I don't think this is going to make much difference. The question is, you know, is he in breach of the Constitution? I personally think that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats have jumped the gun a bit, and they could come out of this with a lot of egg on their face. But, you know, we need to see the results of a full inquiry, I suppose. I don't know.
Well, the other aspect of this, and of course, let's bring into the topic the issue of the UN meeting this week. And of course, we got to bring up the topic of the International Climate Commission. So, what is the anticipation coming out of New York City this week? What are you hearing there? And again, you know, the caveat is we're going to get into a long conversation about what's happening there in Brexit. But what is the anticipation?
Well, the if we're talking about the climate change conference. Mm-hmm. You know, people were surprised that President Trump actually turned up at the climate change conference.
Mm-hmm.
A lot was made of the fact that Greta Thunberg gave a very expressive scowl when she caught sight of him. And, of course, her speech, which was very impassioned, and the comments that were made on Fox News calling her insane, which everyone thought was unfair.
Mm-hmm.
All that was heavily reported. There's been a lot of reporting about climate change and that perhaps the United States and Trump administration might be starting to wake up to the need to become involved again.
Okay. And of course, let's talk about, again, the UN meeting. And the president of Iran was there. He was given the privileges to come to the country. What is the anticipation out of that? Any expectations or are
you
they?
You know, again, I was really surprised. There'd been very little reporting of what Rouhani did.
I know.
There was some reporting of Trump's speech and his emphasis on patriotism and anti-globalism, but and certainly, you know, criticisms of Iran, and that everyone should get around to backing him and attacking Iran, or opposing Iran, but not a great deal about Rouhani himself. You know, the Europeans are so, they have so many problems, and the British in particular, which usually take a lead in these foreign policy issues, they are just so involved in their domestic crises that they don't have time to focus on other things.
Well, let's talk about Ukraine, Trump, Biden, whistleblower, that issue. What about the Ukraine? What's happening there? What's the one of the arguments that the president, and he offered several, I might add, but one of his comments was that he wanted to see the European community more invested in the Ukrainian support. What is the opinion of Ukraine among the European leaders?
Oh, it's terribly corrupt. There's no doubt about it. It is terribly corrupt. I wrote a story about a few years ago where the ambassadors from Britain, France, Germany, and the U.S. and Canada all wrote a joint letter to the president saying that unless you get your you clean out your Augean stables, unless you stop this corruption, and they made a specific reference to the prosecutor who's been talked about, if you don't do something about it, then we are going to have to do something. We're going to have to reconsider the aid that we extend to you. I think this was back at the end of the Obama administration, which probably coincides with when Biden was making his comments.
Okay.
You know, this was a joint international effort, you know, it's noted as one of the most corrupt governments in Europe.
All right. Sticking with Ukraine.
That's what Zelensky was elected on, an anti-corruption ticket.
Okay. And the other aspect of this, he now apparently has a full parliament supporting him. Is that correct?
Yes, over 50%.
What is the opinion on the future of the Ukraine? Is there a possibility the corruption can be cleaned up?
Can it be cleaned up? You know, at the very top, yes, he can appoint people who are less corrupt. He can get rid of people. But it extends right down into the depths of the civil service. And that is where you start getting problems. How do you go right down into the roots? Oh. There is a corruption problem. There will be a corruption problem. It will take time to sort out.
The Israeli elections, President Trump's associated with that as well. What is the expectations there with Bibi Netanyahu?
It hasn't been decided yet. The Blue and White Party, led by Benny Gantz, is, I think, one or two seats ahead of Netanyahu. But the important thing is that he's gotten the support of the 13 Arab members of the Knesset. And this is the first time that the Arab members for about 30 years have backed a Jewish party. It still does not give Benny Gantz's party enough to form a coalition government.
Okay.
But it's a major step.
Okay. And then what's the anticipation? Is there any sense that Israel might be turning the corner, or are they looking, is there a fear that...
No, I think they might be looking towards another election. But let me just stress this Arab connection, because normally they say aloof. You know, they stay out of it, but they feel worried. They feel they have to do something.
Ah.
And so they are going to link themselves up with the center-left party in the Jewish political spectrum.
The situation in the U.S., we're going to get to the situation in Great Britain here in a few minutes. I'm going to tease that. It's going to be a very in-depth conversation. We have Justin Trudeau, who's looking at political problems related to digging up old issues, old photos. You've got the issue in Israel. We've got problems in France, Angela Merkel in Germany. All the world leaders are being challenged. And it was interesting. The president touched on the topic of globalism. Is that probably the populist versus the globalist movement that has presented this problem for these leaders?
I think it's part of it. But I think what we have is a world which is becoming increasingly complex, increasingly interconnected. You can't stuff the genie back in the bottle.
No.
But it does make life more complicated, and people don't like it, and they turn towards simple solutions for complex problems, which leads only, in my opinion, to more problems. Simple problems, I think you can usually replace the word populism for the simple solution. the world is complex, and we need a higher quality of leader. I would also add that, there are very few political careers which end in anything other than failure. You know, people mm-hmm. lose office.
Right.
And if you don't want to go into politics, then, you know, choose an easy life. It's not an easy life.
Right, yeah.
You will be attacked.
Yeah. Thin-skinned people are not wanted, will not survive. But it is interesting to see all the challenges out there. And as we prepare to go to the break, because we're going to now talk about what's going on there in the United Kingdom with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And just to remind you, this portion has been pre-recorded. Tom, looking at the challenges that all these political leaders are experiencing, is there, do you think, a willingness by young, well, potential young leaders and voters to get engaged? I'm wondering if this might end up, and I've questioned this in the United States, might just make these folks want to turn away. They're just disinterested in the constant.
It is. My son, who is 28, and he was quite political, now refuses to discuss politics at all. He says it makes him too angry.
Right.
That they're just a bunch of failures, and he thinks maybe they should just throw the lot out, have a revolution, start all over again.
Wow. I hear sounds.
And that is something I hear from other people, young people as well.
Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio joining us from London, England. Speaking of which, we are now going to move to right after this break here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Joining us from London, England, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded to accommodate his sleeping schedule. We have been teasing this throughout the afternoon. We're recording this in the morning. But we're going to be chatting with him now about Brexit. And there are so many questions that I have for you, Tom. I would like to start off with one question right out of the gate. And I know that the Supreme Court in the UK has decided that the Prime Minister's decision to close Parliament, prorogue, P-R-O-R-O-G-U-E, by the way, has been declared unconstitutional and illegal. But I have a quick question. The Scottish Supreme Court said the same thing 2 weeks ago, if I recall correctly. Now the UK Supreme Court is doing the same thing. First question, what's the relationship between Scotland and the United Kingdom on their Supreme Courts? And, did the Scottish decision have anything to do or any influence on the UK decision?
Well, first of all, it's similar to, say, the relationship between a federal court and the Supreme Court. In the case of Scotland, they do have their own legal system.
Okay.
And so the Scottish Supreme Court, what the laws that it passes or judgments it makes can apply to Scotland. The UK Supreme Court applies to all of the United Kingdom.
Which, of course, includes Scotland.
Of course. Obviously, if there's a debate by the Scottish Supreme Court and they make a judgment, things are discussed and they do have their impacts. In the case of the UK Supreme Court, one of the most damning things about it, about the decision, was that it was totally unanimous.
Right. Yeah. And let's talk.
Never. You never get unanimous. Very rarely do you get unanimous decisions.
All right. Let's talk about the UK Supreme Court. 11 members versus 9 in the States. Who selects
there? There are 12 members, actually.
Oh, there are 12.
There are 12 members, but they always sit as an odd number.
Okay.
So one person recused himself.
Okay. Who selects the Supreme Court? Quick question.
It is done by a sort of judicial committee.
Okay.
Which is basically a group of legal eagles, legal wise men, former members of the Supreme Court, leading lawyers, and people like that.
How long do the members of the UK Supreme Court serve?
They serve, I think, and till they're 75. Okay. I don't think they serve for life.
Not a lifetime appointment.
I'm not certain.
Okay. Not really a big issue, just a casual background on this one. Now, the Supreme Court has decided that Boris Johnson illegally closed the parliament and, as I recall reading in the story, ostensibly lying to the Queen.
Yes, you cannot lie to the Queen.
Okay.
I mean, that is one of the biggest bad things he's done.
Oh, well.
It just goes against all conventions. You know, you have to be honest to the Queen.
Okay, by the way, I've got to make mention of this. I read this, and we haven't brought this up. Apparently, he's lost much of the support within his own party, the Conservative Party. Among one of those that deserted him was his brother.
Yes, Joe. Joe Johnson.
Wow. Okay, so this has had a family dispute as well. So, all right, what next? Because let me just remind you, I'm sure you've already forgotten. The end of next month, October 31, Great Britain leaves the European Union.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
There is legislation which has been passed which says that they cannot leave with a no deal, that they have to ask for a further extension to try and negotiate a deal.
Who will ask for that extension?
But Johnson is trying to find a loophole to that.
Well, and who would it be Johnson that would ask for the extension?
He has to.
Well,
the Parliament has passed legislation which says that if he does not negotiate a deal by, I think it's the 17th of October, then he has to write a letter to the Commission, European Commission, asking for an extension.
And if he
Johnson has said, I will not write such a letter.
Right.
I don't care what Parliament tells me.
Okay.
I will not do it.
Okay.
In which case, you'll be in contempt.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to ask, what's going on?
It's coming down to, and this is what the court decided, it's coming down to the sovereignty of Parliament. And what Johnson and the Brexiteers are saying is that they have the sovereignty of the people, the will of the people as expressed in the referendum that told them what to do. But the problem is that the British Constitution does not recognize that as the political power. The British Constitution says that Parliament is sovereign.
Ah.
And that the Prime Minister represents Parliament. Parliament, of course, is elected by the people. But it's Parliament that makes the decisions, not the people. Just like Congress and the President make decisions, not the people as a whole.
Right, right. Okay. So where does this leave us? We've got, by the way, is Parliament reconstituted?
Yes, Parliament has been resumed. It started sitting today. And we had one speech from the Attorney General, who's responsible for the details of the proroguing of Parliament. And it was impassioned. Really shouting and beating his fists and everything else and shouting that Parliament was a disgrace, that it should be dissolved and never meet again, and that they were a disgrace to the green benches they sat on. I mean, it was real stentorian stuff.
What would happen if, I mean, okay, so that would that then give Boris Johnson basically carte blanche?
Well, he is talking. They are talking about proroguing Parliament again, but only they would only do it for a day or two. It really is. This is unprecedented. Never before in the history of Britain has the Prime Minister been declared as acting illegally.
Wow.
Never in the entire history. We have not had this situation since 1641.
Here's a quick question for you. Theresa May, of course, was put out on her ear, if you will. Is there any discussion about possibly asking Theresa May to step back in?
No, okay. I don't think they'd ask Theresa May to step back in.
I caught you by surprise on that question. Okay,
you did, but no way.
All right, let's compound the problem. Apparently, the Prime Minister, when he was sitting in Parliament, And he had certain responsibilities. I can't recall now what it was. Foreign relations. He was a member of cabinet.
Foreign affairs.
He was cabinet. Apparently had close relations with a young American lady.
No, that was when he was mayor of London.
That's right, when he was mayor of London. But he has also included her in a variety of trips and actually contracted with her for services. But we're talking legitimate services here, public relations issues.
Yeah.
I had to be careful. I wanted to qualify that. You understand. Anyhow, apparently there's some question as to the legality of that. What is Boris Johnson's?
He's got 14 days to answer accusations about that. The woman's name is Jennifer Arcuri. She has received $160,000 in grants and sponsorship over a period of years. She went with Boris Johnson on three different trade delegations.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, I once went on a trade delegation of sorts. It is really difficult to get on one in your entire lifetime. To get on three is unheard of.
So,
especially if you're not even British.
That's the other aspect. This is an American. By the way, I understand she's moved back to the States.
Yes.
Getting out of the way. All right. How is that being reported? Where do you find room in the pages?
Oh, he was apparently a regular visitor to her apartment in London.
Yeah, during the noon hour. Anyhow, my question to you is, how is that being covered in the UK? I mean, where do you find room of that? Is that in the front pages?
Oh, it's being covered. But once again, you know, the constitutional implications of the Supreme Court decision is taking over everything, and this has sort of slipped down the page, you know. I mean, but it's a huge story because either way, you know, he could be breaking all sorts of laws, assuming that he's well. We know he's guilty of one. We don't know about the one involving Jennifer Arcuri.
All right, we have a group of items I'm going to run through very quickly, related to a Labour Party conference, and we're going to have to be very quick on this because we're running out of time. There's going to be a Labour Party conference. When is it going to be conducted, and what's the purpose?
Well, it's just finished, in fact.
Uh-huh.
And it's been very interesting. They called for the abolition of private schools.
Uh-huh.
They hinted that they want to withdraw from NATO. They've hinted at unilateral nuclear disarmament. Basically, Labour Party has swung to the extreme left, and we have the specter, if you like, of class war rearing its head again.
Wow. And who is head of Labour
Party? And they hate Trump.
Okay, surprise. And by the way, I saw a note here. They support support for the Palestinians.
Support for the Palestinians, support for Venezuela, I mean the whole lot.
Okay, who leads the Labour Party and what does this
Jeremy
do?
Jeremy Corbyn.
Oh.
Now, the thing is the ideological purists have taken over the Labour Party, if you like.
Okay.
The far left ideological purists.
All right. This then leads to the question. What would fill in between this gap of the far left and the far right? I assume
the party that I support and campaign for, which is the Liberal Democrats. But like a lot of centrist parties, they tend to get squeezed.
But right now, obviously, you've got folks that are adamantly opposed to the Conservatives on the issue of Brexit. But I'm hearing that it might be very uncomfortable to go to the Labour Party. And the Lib Dems?
I need you campaigning for me.
The Lib Dems are sitting in the middle. What's the potential?
They are sitting in the middle. And they're the only party which has consistently said they do not want to leave the EU. So, you know, they've got a very clear policy. So if you're a Remainer, as they say, you know, the only party is a national party. Is the Liberal Democrats.
All right. What's the future for the Conservatives now with Jeremy Corbyn now off to the far left? He was, competing for.
Political pundits are known for making predictions, but at the moment, nobody is making any predictions about anything.
So much for.
It's just, we are floating rudderless. In uncharted waters.
So much for Viewpoints. Look Ahead Radio and Look Ahead News with Tom Arms here on Viewpoints Around the World. We were looking ahead for solutions. We'll get back to a few other items. As a matter of fact, I'm looking forward to this. The World Conquer Championships. I'm wondering what that is. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Joining us this afternoon, we've pretty much gotten a complete understanding of what's happening in the UK, and we're confused. Let's talk about two items here, Tom, before we wrap it up with you. First, I want to go to Spain and the Franco, the exhumation of Franco's remains. The Franco to be exhumed, says the Spanish court. What's the purpose?
Well, he's buried in this huge tomb.
Uh-huh.
And the tomb is in 3,500 acres, where 40,000 fascists are buried next to him.
Mm-hmm.
The it's called the Valley of the Fallen, and it was built between 1940 and 1958.
Mm-hmm.
And this tomb and this valley has become a focal point for fascists. They go there and they have rallies and stick up their arms and things like that. And
uh-huh.
so people are concerned that, you know, this is bad. You know, that as the country develops more and more political problems and people turn back with rose-tinted spectacles to the years of Franco, it will become more and more a place where fascists will gather to try and get political support.
Okay.
And so the solution is to exhume his body and put him in a common grave.
Huh. Okay. And will that decision be – has that decision been made?
It has been taken.
Okay. Ooh.
It has been taken.
All right.
And obviously the far right is very angry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Franco's family is very angry about it. They have, you know, the relations – you have to remember that Franco was responsible for something like 500,000 deaths
mm-hmm.
from torture,
right.
murder, medical experiments, things like that.
Ooh. All right. Let's move on to a lighter topic, final topic of the day. The World Conquer Championships. Help me out. What is a conquer? Yeah, what's a conquer?
It's a horse chestnut. It comes from the horse chestnut tree, not the edible chestnuts, but the inedible chestnuts. And it's a game which British children, in particular boys, play. And they drill a hole through the chestnut and they put some string through it, and then they try and crack each other's chestnuts by hitting them with their chestnuts. And these are called, and if you manage to crack the other person's chestnut or knock it off the string, you win. And then you stomp on it with your feet. Next week is the World Conquer Championships in Ashton, Northampton. And I can assure you, there will be nobody there under the age of 50. It will not be for little boys. It will be for big boys.
Our guest this afternoon, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. By the way, Tom, are you by any chance going to the – I understand you've been practicing.
Well, I'm a Cub Scout leader.
And?
That's my day job as Cub Scout leader. And we are having our own version of the World Conquer Championships on the same day.
Outstanding. What day of that next week?
That would be next Monday.
Next Monday. In
Northampton. Northamptonshire.
Okay. All right. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here with us. And next week, we're looking to hear a conclusion to the issue of Brexit. I'm confident by then he'll have it figured out. Tom?
You may have to wait a bit longer.
Best to you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Lockwood.
Viewpoints around the world here on the Talk Station, FM 107, AM 1240.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of The Talk Station.